the first characteristic of the holy name is that the vibration is none different from the person. The second is that it delivers the devotee and it awakens the true self. The third is it annihilates the false ego. Four is it purifies the heart. And purifies the heart is extinguishes the fire of material existence, activates the blossoming of the ultimate good fortune, enlivens the soul with self-knowledge, increases the bliss of an intimate relationship. It invites everyone to participate, and there is the ultimate total fulfillment of all things. So when you're chanting nicely, it's very natural to want to do sankirtan because you want to share it. It's like you're overflowing. You naturally, because we're personalists, we naturally want to go and share it with others. We don't just want to. If you ever try, if you're chanting good and you think, oh, to hell with everybody else, I'm just going to stay and enjoy it myself, then you lose the taste very quickly.
If we don't have this desire to go out and preach and give out, that means we have no taste, or we don't chant properly.
Yeah. It means we may have some taste, like there are some devotees that are Vaishnavandis, and they have some taste. But Agostinanandi, he's been given the taste by Lord Chaitanya to go out.
Mm.
So then if Lord Chaitanya is giving it to you and you're not using it properly, then Lord Chaitanya may think, well...
There are different kinds of devotees, different natures, and some of them
and
more extrovert and more introvert.
Well, yeah, and also different sampradayas, because although there was the odd devotee in ISKCON that Prabhupada said just be a Bhajanandi, 99.9% of the devotees that have come to ISKCON are Gostinandi.
Mm.
Well, that's the line. So apart from exceptions, you could say that pretty much most devotees should be going out and preaching. Hare Krishna.
He's a Bhajanandi.
He's a belly in the hand.
Belly.
When I see your belly, don't feel so bad.
Amikor látja a hasadat, akkor nem érzi rosszul magát.
So that's a nice point, that if you are actually chanting nicely, then it won't be a problem for you to go out. In fact, it'll be a problem for you not to go out. If you can't go out, you feel like you're wasting.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting all this nice mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and you're not getting to go out and share it. So then it becomes a waste, you know. Because you don't have to be overflowing with bliss to, you know, peel potatoes or mop the floor. You can do that in practically any consciousness, you know. So, 11:42, why we should have hope. So, when I was giving the class this morning, I noticed one or two of the devotees were looking a bit sad when I first started. I think it's that. So sometimes you're talking about the holy name. Also, when you're talking about sankirtan as well, sometimes devotees, you can see that they're feeling like they're left out. They're thinking, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me because, you know, I can't chant or I can't do sankirtan. So they start feeling left out. So this next group of points, which is 5 points, it's 5 points why we should be optimistic about chanting.
Mm. That's good.
Because we should be optimistic.
I'd like to hear this.
Because otherwise we can get depressed. So one reason why we should is we are worth something to Krishna, and he's been very proactive in arranging for us to come back to him.
Krishna nagyon proaktív abban, hogy hogyan vigyen vissza minket magához.
Mi ez a proaktív?
Előre gondolkozó cselekvő. Nem csak reagál dolgokra, hanem elég megy.
So that's one good reason to be optimistic. Because
yes,
Krishna sent Prabhupada to come down and tell us to chant Hare Krishna, you know. So obviously he wants us to chant Hare Krishna more than we want to chant Hare Krishna. My interior judgment, my judgment of myself, is more severe than Krishna's judgment of me.
Severe?
Súlyosabb, keményebb.
Hogy a saját meg
saját magunkat sokkal keményebben ítéljük meg, mint egy sejtelme belül.
Just like Mohan was asking the question. And Mohan was asking the question this morning, he was saying, well, you know, God, he seems very, like, something to be afraid of, very fearful of. But we should be more afraid of ourselves than afraid of God. God is kinder than we are. He has unlimited mercy. We have a little bit of mercy, a little bit of compassion. But God has unlimited mercy, unlimited compassion. And that's what Burijan was saying one day. He went up to a devotee, or a devotee went up to him. No, I think Burijan went up to Vaisheshika, and he said to him, I'm going to tell you two things that will change your life forever. So Vaisheshika was saying, yeah, yeah. And he said, one is Krishna is fully, completely independent. And Krishna is unlimitedly, Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. And Krishna is unlimitedly merciful. That's what he said. He said he's all merciful and he's all powerful. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting sometimes a little bit kind of discouraged about chanting, then remember that Krishna can do anything and Krishna is all merciful.
It's a good combination.
Yeah. It's a winning combination.
So this is the third one?
No, this is still part of the first one, that we are worth something to Krishna. So we're worth something to Krishna. Krishna thinks we're worth something. We don't think we're worth something, but Krishna does. And also part of the first one, we can feel secure in Krishna's love despite our having a long criminal career in the material world. So although we've been criminals for a long time, we've been bad for a long time, we can feel confident that Krishna still loves us. Okay, so the second point was, even a neophyte can experience deep spiritual emotions. So, just to ask all the devotees, I mean, some of you have been practicing devotional service, what, for 10 years, 8 years?
10.
10?
8.
8.
Slightly more than 1.
1.
Around 1.5.
1.5 and 20.
No.
10 years, okay. So in the time that you've been practicing Krishna consciousness and chanting, would everybody like to share a deep spiritual emotion that they experienced from their chanting? You don't have to, but if you can think of one. I had one when I first joined. I'd been chanting for 6 weeks, and I was trying to chant. And I started thinking of my old girlfriend, and I was thinking, oh my God, no, I don't want to do that, I just want to chant, you know. So she was like kind of fluttering around here like some kind of a bat, some black witch, you know.
Think of me, come on.
And I was thinking, oh no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And as soon as I started doing it, I just started feeling really blissful. And it was like the clouds had parted and the sun was shining on me, but instead of just warmth, it was shining love on me, and I started feeling blissful, and the bliss went right up my back and up, and all the hairs were going up, and I had like bumps on my skin, goosebumps, and I was like, oh, and I just felt ecstasy. It only lasted for you know, just a few seconds, but it was a very, very powerful experience, you know. So anyone else had something like that?
Well, it was among the first experiences when I started chanting. It's I was chanting for a half an hour, but it was intensive, and since I didn't know too much about the philosophy, it was offenseless because of the lack of knowledge, or
yeah.
I don't know, but
yeah.
What happened is that at a point the tears came out and just I understood that everything was happened in the past for this purpose. To bring me to this very point.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
And I made me calm, and I understood that nothing went wrong ever since I was born.
Nice. That's a nice one. Yeah.
In one kirtan, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, it was in Krishna Veri, Govinda Maharaj was there, and Shivara Maharaj.
And it was also in Krishna Veri.
And there was this great kirtan,
and I felt that I'm just a criminal, as you mentioned, and I'm in the prison for so long time, and I did very, very bad things for millions of years, and there was Radisham, and I felt that they are fully not from this world. They just came to us, and I saw that their transcendental position in some way, and I felt that this Mamajan Manijan Manishwari, Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoitukita, is there is no valuable thing in this material world. Everything is just prison thing, just very, very bad thing. But I only want just Krishna, nothing else. I just want Krishna. And it was like that. It was nice.
Mm. Nice.
And when I came and when I had my first marathon, and after the marathon there was a celebration of the new year before the last day, and we went out too, and that time I really gave my best. Anyway, for me the Sankirtan is not so easy, and that time wasn't so easy like now. No, now it's good, quite good, but not easy. But, and that time I really gave my best, and when usually in Mangala, when we sing Kritveva Triptim Bhajata Sadeva, it came to my mind, such a good thing to just satisfy the Guru and Krishna. So this is the only thing, and that was quite intense. And in this celebration, we had a kirtan, and somehow I came, arrived evening time from the Sankirtan, and I just went to the kirtan, and I felt and singing in the back, I felt I'm nothing, but I just want to satisfy Gonita and Krishna, and just this, only this desire. It was so nice kirtan, nice song and everything, but it made me almost like such a joy from the heart. I remember I almost like fainted. That's so like, oh, where I'm now. So it's like almost really like how you want to say the look
dizzy.
Yeah. So
wow.
That's really deep.
So it's intense, very intense. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because so, and then from this I can imagine if once we can really experience that pure devotional service, that means we just want to satisfy Guru or Krishna. This is the only, then that's so powerful. It could be just one glimpse.
One glimpse. You had one?
Yeah, when I first met devotees, I became friends with Kamsari Prabhu. He was leading Harinams every Friday afternoon. But when he invited me, I had to tell him that I have to go to school. I was in college and I had some seminar or whatever. So I went there, but I decided to skip that class and just went to join the Harinam. But they already left the spot where they met up. And I had some kind of idea where they might have gone. But I was walking Vasi Street down and up and I didn't see any devotees. But then I started to hear the mantra. But they were like far away, so it wasn't possible for me to really hear the mantra. But then I heard the mantra and I started to follow the sound, and I found the group.
It's great. It's special.
That's like that book by Radhanath Maharaj, Journey Home. At one point he's by the Ganges and the mantra just starts coming off the Ganges, and then that's how he knows the Hare Krishna mantra. He just hears it off the Ganga.
Yes,
really.
That's something.
So, what's interesting, what we've all experienced, is that when we get these deep experiences, when we first get them, I mean, I got my first one after 6 weeks, and I was thinking, you get one every 6 weeks. When I joined, I thought, wow, this, what? And I was looking at some of the older ones, and I was thinking, you know why they're like that? You know, they should be looking really happy. If this is every 6 weeks, I'd be laughing my head off, you know. And then you realise after 30 years it's only like once in your lifetime you're going to get it, you know.
Sorry, I
didn't get it. When I was young, when it happened, I thought that it would happen for 6 months, and then it would be very good, and then I saw the old bhaktát, and I thought, what are these? Akkor ugye eltelt 30 év, akkor rájöttem arra, hogy ez igazából csak egyszer történik valakivel ez.
So, it is still possible to experience lots of wonderful things, but with Narada Muni, Krishna told Narada Muni, he said, for the rest of your life, he says, one who has been tinged with material desire can hardly see me. He says this to Narada Muni, so he shows, he even speaks to Narada Muni, but then he also tells him, you won't be getting anything else now for the rest of your life, but this will increase, you know. So that may be there, but still there'll be nice tastes, nice glimpses, and I'm convinced that if anyone was to sit there and do 192 rounds, that they would get some indication of the swarup, you know, something would come from that, you know. I'm sure something very powerful would happen from doing that. That's my hunch, my speculation. And Shivram always told me, he said, just do 192 rounds once in your life, and your chanting will never be the same. You've got to do it once at least, just to see what
happens. And then what's the swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's the
swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's the swarupa? What's
the swarupa? What's
the swarupa?
Hogyha 125-t gyöpázol, akkor biztos, hogy lesz valami.
Lesz egy ugyanilyen élménye, mint akkor volt, amikor...
Sosem lesz még egyszer,
hogy... Nem hogy fordítana valaki, mert én itt előzök
életben. Nem érted egyáltalán?
Hát értem, csak nem mindent. És van legjobb része, hogy fásában nem értem.
Nagyon jó, hogy nem is szóltam. Valaki szólt. Okay.
So I want to ask a question, but. Go to sleep. Okay, now everybody has to be ready. Okay, everybody has to be really honest now. I want to ask a question, and. It's something that I've found helps, and I don't want you going around telling everybody, because I may get in trouble with Shivaram Maharaj for saying it, but it's something which really helps me. One time we were doing, we were traveling, for 15 years I traveled in a motorhome with Prabhupada Charan, and when we were doing our japa in the morning, sometimes it would be too cold to go out, so you basically, you know, you're walking up and down this tiny little space like this. You know, for 2 hours, and Prabhupada Charan's on the other side, and he's walking. And if one of us falls asleep, then we knock into each other, you know. So it was quite intense. And sometimes the japa wasn't very good. So what would happen is the mind would start thinking about material desires, sex, different things would come into the mind, and the chanting would just feed it, would just intensify it. So it would actually just get worse and worse and worse, and I'd be thinking, No, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then the next minute it would all be there. And because what the chanting is doing is it's watering whatever's going on in the heart. So if the weeds are coming up in the heart and you can't fix your attention on the holy name, then what you're doing is you're watering your desires. So you're making them stronger. And I knew that that the chanting was starting to become counterproductive for me. It was working against me because I couldn't focus on it, and this was going on for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and it was becoming more and more difficult. And normally chanting for me would be such a big relief to get free from all these things, but instead what was happening was it was focusing on them and making them more and more prominent. So I was getting really disturbed, and then I started to say Gauranga, because I'd read Prabhupada says when you say Gauranga it's the same as saying the Panchatattva mantra. And you say the Panchatattva mantra at the end of a round to free you from the offences you've made during the round. And I was thinking, my chanting is so offensive. I need to say the Panchatattva mantra between each mantra, never mind at the end of each round, you know. And because the Panchatattva mantra takes as long to say as the Hare Krishna mantra, then you'd only get half your rounds chanted if you to do that. So instead, what I did was I started saying Gauranga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Gauranga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Gauranga, Hare Krishna, Hare. And as I was doing it, suddenly, I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya was coming into my mind as well, but suddenly the desires, the material desires I was focusing on were getting further away, and they were getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I was saying in my mind to Lord Chaitanya, you've given me the Maha Mantra, but I can't approach Radha Krishna. As I'm trying to approach Radha Krishna, the envy is coming up, and it's causing all these desires to come out. So I'm approaching you, and I'm chanting your name, and then I'm saying the Hare Krishna mantra because you've asked me to say it, but I'm not saying it because I want to do it.
Mm.
I'm offering you the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because you've asked me, but as far as I'm concerned, I just want to say Gauranga, because Gauranga's, with Gauranga I'm okay, you know, but the Hare Krishna is too confidential for me. And so then I found that the chanting got stronger, and then again I could just chant without having to say Gauranga, but it kind of steered me clear of going into like a dangerous situation. So that's unofficial though. So if you think it's not bona fide, then and you don't want to try, that's fine, you know. Or if you do want to try it, then don't tell anybody else. Or if you do, don't tell them what I told you.
It's being recorded.
I asked Madhavananda, I said, do you think it's bona fide to do this? Because maybe I'm starting another sampradaya or something, you know. And he said, what can be the harm in calling out for Lord Chaitanya in love?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, well, that's what I'll try and do then. If I'm going to do it, I'll do it. I'll try and do it with as much love as I can for Lord Chaitanya, you know. But anyway, that's something I found was really useful. So there's two things. If the Holy Name was to manifest before you, when you're chanting, if you're chanting really nicely and suddenly you feel like the Holy Name is there, there's two things which you're recommended to ask for. So I remember when we were in Vrindavan, we were at Govardhan Hill, and we reached this part in Govardhan Hill, and the devotee that was doing the parikram, he said, okay, everybody stop, nobody go past this line just now. When you go over this line, whatever you're desiring, that will be fulfilled. So everyone get your heads together, and as we go into this section, make sure you're thinking of the right thing to ask for, you know. And at that time, I was just really tired, and I was a bit fried as well, actually. And as I stepped over the line, all I could think of was a plastic bottle of water. I was thinking, just give me a bottle of water, that's all I want, you know. I could have had anything, you know, and I was asking for a plastic bottle of water. So actually, two of the things to ask for, which are really nice, is, please allow me to feel affection for you when I chant your name. And please allow my heart to melt at least one time in my life when I chant your name.
Mm.
So two really nice things to ask for. That I feel affection and that my heart melts. So on that same, in that same vein, there's a prayer for the Holy Name. And again, this is really, really nice. My dear Holy Name, please allow me to taste your nectar, to fully experience your presence, to feel joy and enthusiasm when I meet you. Please allow me to become attracted to you, to always hanker for your association, and to never become tired of spending time with you.
Mm.
And please reveal how you are none different from your form, qualities and pastimes, how you are fully present in your name. So that's a very nice prayer. Please reveal to me. So an interesting thing happened to a devotee once. He was chanting, and he was in front of this picture, and it was a picture of Lord Chaitanya with his associates, and he was just chanting. And then suddenly, the picture kind of went over there, and Lord Chaitanya was there, and all Lord Chaitanya's associates were there, and he was in the picture. Mm. And he could see Lord Chaitanya, and he was like, and he saw his associates, and he was just chanting, and then he came back out the picture, and then he was just running around. I was in the picture. So they told Srila Prabhupada that this devotee was, and so Prabhupada looked and he went, to reveal it is 10th class.
Mm.
So Prabhupada acknowledged that he'd done it,
mm.
but he said he shouldn't have gone around telling everybody.
Mm.
So Bhaktivedanta Thakur says that when he approaches his japa, this period is filled with infinite prospect, which means anything at all can happen. Absolutely anything can happen. When you approach your japa, anything could happen. You could go into a picture, you could go into a pastime, Krishna could show you your swarup, he could show you what you are. There was one time Prabhupada was giving a class and he said to this boy, "You are Krishna's flute in the spiritual world." And he went on giving the class. You can imagine what that must do to you when you get told that by Prabhupada, what your swarup is, you know. So the Holy Land could do that. It could just reveal it to you, just like that. It could happen. It's quite possible. There's no reason why the Holy Name, and the Holy Name can do it. It's just whether, if you wanted to, and you're asking, instead of a plastic bottle of water, ask for something like that instead, you know.
Did you get that one?
I did, I got a bottle of water, and I thought, well, you know, that's what I get for asking for a bottle of water, yeah. It was the best bottle of water I ever tasted. Okay, so what are the effects of good japa?
Trade.
So the effects of good japa are that Krishna becomes more enchanting. And anything that relates to Krishna becomes less attractive. So when I first saw the deities, Donitai, Vijay Garanga, when I first came here and I saw them, I wasn't so attracted to them. And the longer I'm staying, the more they're revealing themselves. And I was looking at Lord Nityananda today and I was thinking, is that the same Lord Nityananda I was looking at the other day? Wow, he looks amazing, he looks beautiful, you know. And so with the Holy Name also, when you're chanting, as you chant nicer, then Krishna starts to look more attractive. Now there's an interesting pastime. I'm an artist, I like doing drawings of Krishna. So when I first came, I had a real problem because there were so many different paintings of Krishna.
Can you show that one,
please?
Yeah.
That's really wonderful.
And I was thinking, well, there's so many paintings of Krishna, how do I know which is the correct one, you know? This one's got a picture of Krishna with a nose like that, this one's got his nose like this, this one's got his ears like this, this one's got his ears like this, you know, I don't know how do I know which one is Krishna. So in the pastime with Krishna and Lord Brahma, when he manifests as all the cowherd boys, become more attractive. Now none of the cowherd boys look like Krishna, but they're all more attractive because they are Krishna. In the same way, there may be so many paintings of Krishna, and they may all be different, but because they're all Krishna, because Gaur Nitya, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, because they are non-different, then still, even though they could look the same as anything else, because they are, then they become more attractive, like all the boys. So that's the amazing thing. And I was thinking, wow, it doesn't really matter which picture. Anyone that's painted that picture to try and serve and present Krishna, then Krishna can come through and then it'll become more attractive. So that's one that I just painted. It's Krishna looking a bit wild, you know. So if we chant nicely, then the deities will reveal themselves and the Holy Name will reveal itself and then we'll start to become attracted, you know. So our prayer, the effect of good japa is that we become more attracted to Krishna, and then we become less attracted to the material things, you know.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Are we chanting Hare Krishna, so it's about Radha Krishna? Yeah, so how do Gaur Nitya reveals, because they are the deities here, and you mentioned deities will reveal themselves. So how do Gaur Nitya reveal themselves for us if we're chanting Hare Krishna?
Well, that's unlimited. That's how they will do that. Just like with all the cowherd boys and the calves, they were all different. But when each one went back to its mother, the mother loved them more. So how Lord Chaitanya will do that for you will be different than how he does it for Mohan. For some of us, it may be by taste, smell, sight, sound. It'll just depend, you know. It's very personal. Krishna's very because every one of us have a different relationship with Krishna, a different way. I mean, when Krishna speaks with all the animals, he knows all the languages to speak in. So he's like going like to a slug, and then he's going or Ben, whatever it is, but he knows how to speak to everybody. So because you are different than anybody else, then he has his own particular relationship with you, and you feel that that's the best, and it's the most special, and everyone feels like that with Krishna. That's the amazing thing about Krishna. So that's the effect of good japa, more attracted to Krishna, less attracted to Maya. And then, why is japa so important? Because some people may think, okay, well, I know we have to do it, but I personally, myself, Prashanam is my thing, you know, or I'm into the deities, you know, or I'm a book distributor, yeah, the japa's there, but that's only, you know, you do your two hours and, you know, the real thing is get the books out, you know, get the Lakshmi and get the books out, you know. Never mind all this chanting rubbish, you know. So why is japa so important? And that's explained again in the japa meditations. And it says there, he read a book once, and it was about a woman who would go on walks with her dad, and when she was young, a lot of the things that she was told on these walks with her father, they were like defining her whole life for the rest of her life. They were very significant things that she was told by her father. And when we're chanting, then we're also going on a walk with our father, and we're going on a walk with Krishna, and he's having a conversation with us. So when you're chanting your japa, actually what's going on is you're having a dialogue with Krishna, and Krishna knows your heart, he knows your desires, he knows your doubts, he knows your problems, and he starts speaking to you and saying, you don't have to worry about that, don't smack him in the face, you don't have to set fire to his car, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. And it's going on subtly, but what's happening is Krishna's talking to you as you're chanting. You're going on a walk with Krishna, and he's speaking to you, and he's helping you to pacify you and give you clear intelligence, you know, how to see the thing, what to do, what you shouldn't do. So this is why japa is so important. If you're going to make a serious decision, you know, maybe you're thinking of leaving Krishna consciousness, maybe you're thinking, no, I don't know what it is about these devotees, but they're just too pushy, and, you know, Hare Krishna, it's nice, but I think I'm going to be a Jehovah's Witness instead, you know, it's easier. So the best thing to do is just chant for a long time and then make a decision. Don't make any important decisions till you've chanted a lot, and you'll find that your decision will change quite a lot, actually. It will change dramatically. We heard a story, Uttama Sloka was saying, and he was saying you shouldn't believe things when you see them, you should believe things when you hear them. And the king was with Birbal, and Birbal told the king, in the future I'm going to tell you that you should use your ears and not your eyes to see something. And Birbal said, in the future this will be very important for you. Suddenly the king forgot about it, and the king had one servant, and the servant loved the king. He was the king's best servant, and the servant loved the king so much that he would lie in the bed before the king went in the bed, and he would lie on it to make sure it was completely nice and soft. And then he would get out the bed, and he would, so it was just nice for the king, you know. So he would do. Anyway, this one night, the servant had been working so hard that he fell asleep, and he was just completely. So the queen came in, and the queen saw the servant in the bed, and she just saw the back of him. So she thought, oh, he's asleep already. And she was thinking, the king doesn't normally go to sleep before I do. He must be really tired, you know. So anyway, so she climbs into bed, and she quickly falls asleep. And the king, as usual, normally comes in later. So as usual, he comes in later. And he sees his wife, he sees the servant, and he gets his sword, and he's just about to kill the two of them. And then suddenly it just comes back into his mind that Birbal had said, don't believe your eyes, but believe your ears. So then he puts his sword, and he goes to the servant. And so the queen stays asleep, and he says to the servant, he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know, I went into that. So he goes, okay, I don't know whether to believe you or not, just know, just stand there and be quiet. And then he wakes the queen. Now he'll know by how the queen reacts. Mm-hmm. So he wakes the queen, and she says, what are you doing? You know, first of all, you go to bed before me, and you know, you've got more sleep than I have, and now you're waking me up early. You know, let me get another. And then he goes, okay, and he puts it back to sleep, and then he says to the servant, okay, go away. And then he goes to bed. So if he hadn't have been told that by Birbal, then both he would have lost his best servant and he would have lost his queen. And actually the queen did love him and the servant loved him. So in the same with Japa as well. If you want to make some decision, don't go by what you see, go by what you hear, and especially by hearing the holy name. So if you're going to do something, don't worry about what you're thinking. Just say, okay, I'll make my decision once I've heard the holy name, and then go off and go and hear the holy name. Make sure you're hearing the holy name as well. It may take a few rounds to get to the point where you're hearing the holy name, but once you hear the holy name, you'll be able to make a much better decision on what to do. Okay, so we all know we've got bad habits when we chant japa. Does anyone here think that they don't have bad habits when they chant japa? Everybody thinks they've got bad habits, right? And most of us know what our bad habits are, right? We've got a few bad habits when you chant japa.
Bad habits.
Bad habits, you know what bad habits are?
I should say some of them?
No, you don't have to say. It might be too embarrassing for some of us. But we all know we've got bad habits, yeah? Yeah? Okay, so the question I'm going to ask you is, why do we not confront our bad habits? Why do we not confront them?
We want to keep them.
Because maybe we want to keep them?
We're attached because they make chanting more comfortable for us?
Yeah, so we want to stay in our comfort zone.
Laziness.
Lazy, yeah. It's interesting on the subject of why we don't confront our bad habits, and the reason why we don't is explained here. It's amazing how many bad habits I have not confronted, even though I know how much these habits hurt me. They exist, I see them, destroying my good japa, yet I ignore them. They have a tendency to somehow camouflage themselves. You know what camouflage is? Yeah? Camouflage themselves. In a way that says, I'm here, but don't worry about me. It's okay. It's not a big problem, you know. And I believe them and think, okay, I won't confront you. Why? Am I afraid it will be too difficult or too much work to change? I must think it's more painful to change than to suffer the consequences of bad japa. So, if you actually think about it now, if we all sit together and think about it, what's going to be more painful, to have bad japa or to confront the habits that cause bad japa?
Bad japa is more painful.
Yeah, bad japa is much more painful. But we're being tricked. We're being told, no, don't get into it, you know.
Can we think these bad habits automatically will
close away?
Goes away, can we think like that? Because maybe there is a tendency, if I'm just try to focus and try to do my best, then I don't have to pay attention to these bad habits, they will go away. Is it a good mentality?
Well, one of the problems is if you've got bad habits when you're chanting and you suddenly decide I want to improve my chanting, it's difficult just as a mental thing to say, okay, I want to improve my japa, because that's not going to be enough. Because we all want to improve our japa, and that's not enough generally, is it? Because we've still got our bad habits, personally speaking, anyway. So one of the easiest ways to improve your japa is to increase it. Because if you increase your japa, it's an automatic improvement. So that's one of the easiest ways to improve your japa, just increase it. And if you do get an opportunity, maybe it's your day off, so you go to bed that night really early, and you get up the next morning really early, and you've got some extra time, and you chant, say, 32 rounds instead of 16, or, you know, as many as you can chant. And then by doing that, towards the end, those last few rounds will be much more improved. And then you will start to automatically improve your japa by increasing the japa. You'll raise the bar, and you'll raise your standard. And also you'll raise your faith, and you'll raise your enthusiasm. And also, you'll experience more. You'll start realizing, wow, it's worth doing it. Wow, I was able to lead kirtan, and it was a fantastic kirtan. I went out on books. I did twice as much books. I was able to just eat the right amount of prasadam. I wasn't looking at women. you know, I wasn't on the mental platform. Wow, this is good. Yeah, this is good. I want to keep doing this, you know. So when you start to get rid of bad habits, you experience the benefits of chanting good japa. And one of the things I've noticed is when I've chanted good japa, or chanted, not so much good japa, just chanted for a long time, is that a lot of the time I'm struggling and I don't even realize it. A lot of the time I'm fighting with the mind and I'm pulling the mind around and I don't even realize it. I just take it as normal. And then suddenly I go out of that space and I go into a different space, and suddenly I'm like, wow, there's no fear, there's no negativity, there's no depression, there's no sadness, there's no hesitancy. I'm just on, I'm just into it. It's fantastic. You know, it's a really good feeling to feel like that. And you see the effect it's having on people as well, because when you come in contact with people, by the vibration of your voice and by your persona and your aura, they're like, wow, this guy's far out. I don't know what it is, but there's something far out about this guy, you know. He's into it, whatever it is he's doing, you know. So people pick up on that. And then when you see the effect that that's having on people, then it makes you start to feel more confident about yourself as well, actually. Because there's nothing worse on Sankirtan than being there and being like a little flea, you know, like a little flea. Excuse me, please, excuse me. We're doing this today and do you think you could help? There's a and you're just like, excuse me. Huge giants are walking by. And I feel like they could just step on you and go, you know, you just feel like a tiny little flea, like a shakti, you know. Excuse me, please.
Yes, I hate.
Okay, so now the problem is, if we're not chanting good japa, it means we must be chanting bad japa. It's a bit like if you're on a hill on a bicycle, if you're not going up the hill, you must be going down it. Because on a bicycle, you can't just stay on the hill. You can't just say, right, I'm just going to stay here. It's a nice view. Oh, I don't want to go up there. I'm just going to stay here like this. Because you'll just start rolling back. You can't stay on the hill on the bicycle. You're either going up it or you're going down it. So you're either chanting good japa or you must be going down the hill. It just gets faster. The longer you do bad japa, the faster it gets. Oh, my God. So if it's not good japa, then you must be going backwards down the hill. So it says here, bad japa leaves me entering my day on a failed note. Wow, the very thing that's supposed to make me feel so happy when done properly has the potency to make me feel awful when not done well.
Please.
Slowly.
Please.
Yeah. The very thing that's supposed to make me feel so happy,
az a dolog, aminek igazából engem boldoggá kellene tennie.
When done properly,
amikor megfelelően van végezve,
has the potency to make me feel awful.
Ugyanakkor rendelkezik azzal a potenciával, hogy szörnyűen érezzem magam tőle.
When not done well.
Amikor rosszul csinálom.
Yeah. And then you think, I've chanted such bad japa today, I don't even want to go out, I don't know what's going to happen to me if I go out like this, you know. So that's the danger of not chanting good japa. So then the question is our japa alive or is our japa dead? Now, the way to see whether someone's japa is alive or his japa is dead is you watch him during japa and see what he's like, and if he's like, you know. That's usually what they do, actually. If you watch, I was watching the devotee this morning, I wouldn't say who it is, and he was chanting, and then he went, you see, he was thinking, oh God, I've got another 50 minutes to go of this yet, you know, is there something I can do to distract me from this, because this is just so hellish, you know? Let me go and find something, there must be something I can do, you know. Instead of just wasting my time banging my head against a brick wall. So if we're chanting, if we look like we're dead when we're chanting, then it means the mantras that we're chanting are dead, and then we become dead. So the mantra is a living thing. Mm. So when we chant a living mantra, then we get life. We become alive. If you're totally fried, try and lead a kirtan, you know. Cha cha pa pa, cha pa pa, cha pa pa, cha pa pa. That's what's like, isn't it? Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada. That's what it's like, because that's what you feel like saying to them, really. You're trying to put on a good show, you know?
So, at least a good show.
Yeah. But everybody can see it. Isn't it? And, you see sometimes somebody's trying to avoid the kirtan, you know, and you pull them in, come on, and they're like... So our japa has to be alive, and the mantras have to be alive. And the best gift that we can give ourselves, this devotee is saying here, is 64 rounds is the most wonderful gift I've ever given myself. Mm-hmm. So at least I should give myself the gift of 16 good rounds every day if I really love myself. So if you really love yourself, then give yourself a break and chant some good japa. And it'll make your life a lot easier. So the danger of not improving japa is, if you go a long time without improving your japa, the problem with that is you commit offences to the holy name, and the chanting becomes really boring. And bad chanting produces less Krishna consciousness, which could lead to no chanting. So if you allow it to keep going on, eventually it'll get to the point where you just don't want to do it anymore. You'll lose so much taste and you'll lose so much faith that you'll start thinking, these Hare Krishnas are crazy, you know, they're jumping around in bed sheets saying Hare Krishna and Hare Bol, you know, it doesn't work, you know. You start thinking like that. And then, I mean, I don't know what the rate is now, but it was like around 80%. 100 devotees join. If you come back in 10 years,
I heard also Sachinda Maharaj, he told me his recent lecture, he did some research and mentioned who joined from that devotees. 80% leave the process.
Yeah,
give up. 80%.
Which is
all the devotees.
80%.
So all over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's 8 of us here. That means in 10 years from now, there'll only be. One or two of us. So that's scary, you know. So we all want to stick around, and the more we're aware of how important it is to chant good japa, the more chance we will have of staying around. So that's the danger. If you don't improve your japa, then you're on the way out. It's just a question of how long it's going to take you. You have to be improving your japa. It's just like if you're going up the hill, you have to be improving. You have to be going up. You have to be pushing. Yeah, and obviously, the quicker you're going up, the easier it is. If you just like, but if you can get a little bit of speed up, then it's easier to push up. You know, if you get some speed on the bike. So to make a good endeavor, well, actually, in the beginning it will be a little difficult. But once you get going. Like with the marathon, when you first start, it's always a little bit difficult. But once you get moving and you start getting in some momentum, then it actually starts to get easier because you're starting to move now. So it becomes easier. So by making it a little difficult in the beginning, by taking on some austerity in the beginning, the benefit is that it will make it easier in the future for you to stay and to chant and to do everything else. So... one of the arguments that sometimes people give is they say the reason I don't have enough time to chant is simply because I don't like chanting enough. Now, because you quite often hear this, the way to say, well, I just haven't got enough time, you know. Have you tried chanting? You know, I haven't got enough time to chant, you know. But I've never heard a devotee say that I've not got enough time to pass stool. I've been that busy lately. I've not passed stool for 3 weeks. I've just not had the time. Or I've not had the time to sleep, or I've not had the time to eat. You know, we always find time to do these things. So if we really did like chanting, then we would find the time. So we just have to start liking chanting. Or at least not allowing ourselves to become tricked by that, you know. Understand, if I really like doing this, I'd be finding the time. Because at one time, Balabhadra Prabhu, he had us chanting 25 rounds a day. He wanted everyone to do 25 rounds a day. And because we had to do it, I mean, sometimes we'd be up late at night finishing off our 25 rounds. But it was amazing how much time you normally waste, you know, waiting for a bus or waiting in the car or standing around. And we'd have our bag on immediately. We'd be chanting those extra 9 rounds, you know. And then you start realizing there's so many gaps during the day. You can get an extra third more japery just by filling all those gaps.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't particularly like doing it, but we were just forced. But if you were someone that liked, I noticed with Vaisheshika, every time we were walking and we stopped, he'd have his phone out and he had all these Bhagavad Gita and he was reading it and then saying something from it, repeating something. There was no gap, there was no space anywhere. Like normally when we something great, okay, got a few minutes here, let's space out, I'll go pick my nose and look at that girl's bum over there, what, and you know, whatever it happens to be, you know. And any opportunity we try and cram in a bit of Maya when we can. So if we really like chanting, then we'll find opportunities to chant and we'll chant extra. And it can be torture. Just trying to think of the mantra can actually be really torturous for the mind. It can be like an excruciating experience trying to do it, you know. It's like putting somebody in a torture chamber. You will now chant the Hare Krishna mantra or you will tell us the truth. Eh? That voice is making you talk. Chant Hare Krishna. Okay, I tell you. What is it? What do you want? I'll give you anything.
Torture chamber as well.
Kinzokamra van, csak mondd el, hogy...
Az volt a lényeg, hogy akkor néha olyan érzés, mint hogy egy kínzókamerába tennének minket, és vallatnának minket, hogy...
Akkor
mi, és akkor csak mondja a mahamantrát, és akkor mondja utána, jó, akkor elmondok mindent, te vallat mindent.
Vagy mondod a mahamantrát, hogy elmondod az igazságot.
I heard one lecture from Sachinda Maharaj, and he mentioned that the devotees please come to one of our japa retreats, and I promise you that will be that day what you never forget. And when I see the devotees who try to chant 64 rounds, and two things can happen. Or you absorb, or you will die. I thought it's Hungarian. Mondta, hogy látom az arcokat, mondta, hogy és megérem, I promise you, you never forget that day. you try to focus your mind.
I started about a year ago doing 64. I'm trying to do it once a week, go to bed at 6 o'clock on Friday and get up at midnight Saturday and then chant till 8. And I'm starting to get 64 done in 6.5 hours. And it's made such a big difference to me, and it's made me convinced that there's no problem that you can have that can't be overcome by the Holy Name. Nothing can stand before the Holy Name.
Mm.
It's like you beat the mind to the point where, you know, when the mind is very prominent, it says, we're not doing Sankirtan today, we're going to do some shopping and think of sex, all right? Okay. Well, you chant 64 rounds and the mind is like, excuse me, do you think we could take a sex? No, okay. Okay. No, I'm sorry. So it becomes very weak and then it's like, that last idiot.
Peace off.
Yeah, peace off. if we want to analyze what is a successful chanter, someone that is successful in chanting. So generally, if a person's chanting, like you see when devotees come back from Sankirtan, they, you know, they're in the kirtan and they're full of life and they're jumping about and they're happy, you know. So a successful chanter is like that. He's alive, he's switched on. He's not finding it boring. He's experiencing some excitement. So these are the fundamental, there's five of them. One is be mindful of the goal, which is to consciously live perpetually in the presence of Krishna. That's the goal. That's what we want. And what's interesting about the goal is that one devotee was saying to me the other day, of the five types of liberation, only with samipya do you get the Lord's association. So for the majority of living entities in Vaikuntha, they've got the same form or the same opulence, but they're not even on the same planet as the Lord. They're just on a planet with, and so it's very, very rare that they'll get the association of the Lord. Very rare. And to be in, we're going back to Goloka through ISKCON by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we're going to get to have intimate association with Krishna all the time. You know, or at least we're not far away from that. We're in that situation. So it's very, very special opportunity. So if you're chanting with that goal, then you want that, that you want to get into the presence of Krishna, then that is a fundamental element to attentive chanting, because you want it. You want this like anything. You want this more than anything else. You want to be with Krishna and you want to experience being with him, you know. And love of God is the goal of japa, and distribution is the service expression of love of God. So it's like if you feel love for Krishna, when you express that in a service mood, it means sankirtan. It means you're going out. It's like if you really love somebody, then you want everybody else to know about it as well, you know. It's like if you're an Elvis Presley fan, you're going around telling everybody about Elvis Presley, you know. Oh, he's really good. Look at this, is his photograph. Isn't he cute? And you know, listen to this. Isn't that amazing? It's the person I love, you know. So that should naturally happen, that if you're experiencing this from your japa, then you'll want to share it. You'll want to do sankirtan. And then number two is that you make a commitment. 16 rounds is the most important commitment. And you maintain firm determination to do that. And you do not get discouraged. Oh, that's the third element. Never become discouraged. And recognize and accept your humble position and be relentless. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. So no matter how many times things go wrong, no matter how many times you feel like you've failed or whatever, you never allow yourself to become discouraged. There's a book by Dhanavir Maharaj, and he says a modicum of remorse, which means a tiny speck of remorse, is okay if it helps you to spring into more enthusiastic service. But otherwise, we're not into feeling bad or sorry or discouraged, no matter what goes wrong. Like there was one Swami that came to Scotland, and he was from Sweden, and he was in a car accident, and he crashed a car into someone, and it was a devotee, and he injured the devotee very badly, and I'm not sure whether the devotee was killed actually, so he was feeling really, really bad, you know. And then he was going around Tulsi Devi a few days later, and he was thinking, you know, even if you kill a Brahmin when you go around Tulsi, then you're relieved of that sin, you know. And then he said, I stopped being discouraged, because he could have become so discouraged that he could have become suicidal, he could have given up being a swami, he could have been so... But none of this would be any good. It's unfavourable to devotional service. So you have to reject it, even if you kill somebody by mistake, you know, what can you do? You have to carry on in your devotional service, you know. So this book is called The Bright Side, and it's a book by Dhanavir Maharaj all about how to be positive. And it's a very, very amazing book, actually. And he says nobody of any importance ever achieved anything of any significance by being discouraged. Nobody. And number four is an interesting one. A fundamental element of attentive japa is to keep it simple. Keep it very simple. Chanting japa is a simplified arena with just three active features. There's just three things. When you chant japa, there's just three things. There's you, the soul, the holy name, and your old friend, the mind. That's all that's going on when you chant japa. You, Krishna and the mind. That's all that's going on. And the mind is like, if I was to take you all now and we were to go to a jeweler's shop, okay? So we come to the jeweler's shop and there's a sheet of glass, and then here is a very, very beautiful diamond necklace, okay? And I say, okay, I want you to look and tell me what you can see. So Mohan looks and he says, I can see the diamond necklace, you know? And then I say to Chandragupta, he says, what can you see? And Chandragupta, he's looking at the glass and he can see a reflection of himself. He says, oh, I can see a reflection of myself.
Mm.
And he can't see the necklace, you know? So when you're chanting japa, if you're focused, then you're hearing the holy name. And if you're not, then you're hearing your mind.
Mm.
So do you focus on your mind or do you focus on the bracelet? Because when you see the bracelet, then you look through the mind. The mind is there, but you're not focused on it anymore. You stay focused on the bracelet. You don't become distracted.
This example is fit for all the Krishna conscious process and the material existence. And if you don't want to see Krishna, then you just see the reflection.
Yeah.
Because Krishna is behind of everything.
You see, so the problem sometimes is the glass is really, really dirty.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe people have been spitting on it and all this is dribbling down the glass. And you're trying to look through and, you know, see the... So that's sometimes the problem of the mind is dirty.
Mm.
And that's why sometimes we need to chant extra, so we can clear things a bit, you know. I mean, 2 hours chanting is just the beginning. I can tell you for definite, it's only the beginning. It really is. Every time you chant another 16, you go into another level and another level, and then you can see why Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was saying 64, because he said, until you're doing 64, you're patita, you're fallen. That was Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada says, well, it's okay because we're engaged in Lord Chaitanya's mission, which so we have a special concession from Srila Prabhupada. But it is a concession, because Bhaktisiddhanta is a fully self-realized acharya. He knows Kali Yuga. He knows we need 8 hours of chanting to get our mind in order. He knows that. And Srila Prabhupada has given us a special concession. So then what do the Gaudiya Math do to try and be cleverer than Prabhupada? They say, no, just do 4 rounds. They say, they have this philosophy that if your chanting is offensive,
yes,
by only chanting 4 rounds, you make less offenses.
Yes, I heard this always. So
so then why chant any rounds then?
Yes.
If you don't chant any rounds, you won't make any offenses.
Yes, that's the best.
Just keep quiet. Just shut up. So we do 16, and we assist Lord Chaitanya. But if any time you get a chance to chant more, then you'll find everything will become a lot easier for you. It's just that's Prabhupada's being practical at the same time. But Prabhupada was very pleased if devotees did find ways to chant more rounds. He was never angry with them for doing that, you know. So the thing is, do we want attachment to the holy name? Do we want to be attached to the holy name? So we have to say to ourselves, yes, we do. So if we want to be attached to the holy name and we want to make a proper endeavour, again, this is Japa Meditations, we must search for meaning in our mantra. We must search for meaning in our mantra while chanting. No endeavour can continue attentively without purpose. You cannot make an endeavour attentively unless there's some purpose. The holy name is my heartfelt prayer for devotion, but mystically also Sri Krishna himself, the object of my devotion. So it's a prayer for devotion, and at the same time as being a prayer for devotion, it's also the person that we're praying for devotion for at the same time. It's like simultaneously one and different.
Mm.
It is thus Shishi Radha Krishna in union. Hare Krishna is Radha and Krishna meeting. And Krishna Krishna Hare Hare is Krishna and Radharani in separation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's what's going on when you're chanting. In case no one had noticed that. So, So we chant for Sri Krishna's pleasure, who not only sits on our tongue to listen to his name, but to hear our devotion. So we're doing it because we want to please Krishna. And when Krishna's pleased, Krishna actually enjoys hearing it, you see. When he hears you chanting nicely, it actually gives Krishna pleasure. He's actually enjoying it. So you can imagine if you're pleasing Krishna by doing that, how much enjoyment you'll be feeling if Krishna's enjoying it. So one of the problems is that we're afraid of chanting pure japa. And does anyone find themselves at times afraid to chant pure japa? You ever think you're afraid to chant pure japa? Yeah. Okay, so it's interesting here. This may be the same fear that you have. It says, I sense that it will reveal my relationship with Krishna, and that relationship won't be in this body, with this family, or with these friends. So it'll be like, because when you go back to Krishna, none of this will mean anything. Who you are now, all the things you've done with this body, your mother, your father, your friends, your pet cat, all the things that happened to you at school, all the things that you thought you were good at, that'll all be nothing. It'll all disappear and you'll be somebody else, which is the same as dying, because we're afraid of dying because we think I'm not going to exist anymore. And when you go back to Krishna, it's like dying. It is like dying because this won't exist anymore. This will be gone forever. And that's a scary thing, you know. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? That I'm gonna take everything that you think you are away, and it's never going to exist again.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, you know, but that's all I know. I know myself as, you know. If that goes, I have nothing, you know, because we don't know what we are. We just know that we know we're that. And if that gets taken away, it's like when a person commits suicide, and then what happens is the ghost stays around the body. Because he thinks, well, that's me, you know, so he stays there by the body because that's all he knows himself as, and then that's why they burn the body, because by burning the body, then the person has to realize, no, it's finished. You have to go on, and he's like, well, but I don't know who I am. I was that. What else am I? You know, so it's a very frightening, very disturbing experience. So because of that, when we start chanting. When the pure chanting starts to come, oh, Lord, I don't know whether I want this just yet. Oh, no, this is scary. So that's what causes the fear. Interesting, when we seek personal enjoyment, then real pleasure escapes us, because the very nature of pleasure is love, which is selfless. Everyone catch that? We want real pleasure. We want the highest pleasure, but if we want if we're wanting that pleasure, then we can't have pure love, because pure love has to be selfless. Mm-hmm. So it's like the only way you're going to get it is by not trying to get it.
How do we do that? Because we have this natural desire to be happy. So we want to be happy, but how do we do to not?
Well, that's the struggle. That's what we're all trying to do. That's the problem. We're all it isn't easy to do it. And but if we focus on that problem when we're chanting, then it'll help make us see why we need to serve, why we need to do this, why we need to put ourselves out for other people, because that's actually how we're going to get it. That's how we're going to get the highest pleasure. That's how we're going to experience it. And it seems like, oh no, I don't really want to do this, I don't want to do it, but that's how the pleasure will come, by doing that. And that takes faith to know that it will come. And that's what pure love, selfless love means, you know. You see, we still have a material conception of what spiritual life should be, you see. And it's completely opposite. Spiritual pleasure is completely opposite to what material pleasure is. Material pleasure is going this direction, spiritual pleasure is going that direction. And so when we're Kanishtha, it can get confusing, because you're trying to go that way and you're trying to go that way at the same time. And it's like, And so again, that's why it's also important to be able to chant, because if you don't, you can go. I've seen some devotees go insane. There was one devotee, he went a little bit mad, and I was at the manor and I was chanting. And this devotee was wearing a saffron dhoti, and he normally wore a white one, you know. So I kind of, oh, okay. And I carried on chanting, you know, chanted a couple of rounds. And then I looked again, and his dhoti was white. He'd been back out, he'd put a white one on, you know. So I thought, oh, okay, it's gone back to white, okay. And I started chanting again. Yeah. Chanted another round. He had a saffron dhoti on again. I mean, he was really on the metal platform, you know. He couldn't decide what he wanted to do. So he was going up the stairs at the moment. He had a saffron dhoti. He's putting it on. He's coming down. And then getting second thoughts. And then coming back up and putting the white dhoti on. Yeah. So eventually he had to leave in the end. And he did have some problem, you know. We didn't have a counselling system at that time. At the manor, everyone just kind of... You were just on your own, really, you know. That's the way it was.
It was in the manor.
In the manor, yeah. Manor. This was in probably 1983, this was. 83, 84. So eventually we just went mad. Just couldn't. See, if you just accept, okay, well, look, I'm attached to sense enjoyment, and you don't try and pretend, and you're just really honest where you are, then Krishna doesn't mind that. But what annoys Krishna is when you make out you're really... sex, but really, like, you know, Krishna—that's what Krishna doesn't like. If you're attached to sense and joy, Krishna can accept that. But just don't pretend. You know? So then, finally, the question. This is the last point. It's on the point of humility. So, we all know it's a good idea to be humble, right? But being humble doesn't just mean.
I am the most fallen, Prabhu.
I'm the most fallen. Does everyone catch it? I'm the most fallen. Yeah.
Prabhu. Give me the dust, Prabhu.
You know, so actual humility. So Dhanadas Swami is saying, chanting begins with humility. Real chanting starts when we become humble. So I search my heart, and I'm looking. Where is it? Where's this humility? But I don't feel humble. So what to do? I don't feel humble. I know I want to be humble, but I don't feel it. I feel like smacking him around the head. So what to do? Can I simply think humble? Can I just think? Well, I'll try and, you know, think humble. But humility is not a mental conception. It's not just a mental thing. Then how to begin my bhajan? Pray hard enough. And you are humble. Prayer is humility. So if you want to become humble, then pray. Praying is humility. Because then you're accepting, yeah, I'm not in control. Or Krishna, please help me. Krishna.
But can we pray when we are not humble?
Yeah, because, well, when you're not humble, then that means you are being humble. Because then you see, humility begins when you feel that you're not humble. If you think you're humble, then you're not being humble. If you think you're humble, so if you think, God, I'm such a proud rascal and I'm totally not humble at all, that's actually what humility is. And then you think, I'm going to have to pray. I'm such a rascal. I'm so bad. I really need to pray. Oh, Krishna, please help me. You know, I'm so out of it. I'm so proud. Please help me. Please, you know. Then that's humble. Mm-hmm. Then you know you're humble. Because you can't feel proud of that. Because you feel like you've got a problem. And being humble means you feel like you've got a problem. It's like, you know, the Goswamis, when they were paying their obeisances 1,000 times a day, they weren't doing that and then thinking, God, I'm so humble, I'm so cool, you know. They were doing that because they felt totally out of it. And they're eternal associates of the Lord. So that's the direction we're trying to go in. So there's no comfort zone there. There's no you feeling you're okay. You're just going to be feeling, as you go on with the process, however out of it you feel you are now, it's only going to get worse.
Unfortunately. Teljesen mindegy, hogy hol tartasz most a folyamat végzése során, hogyha csak haladsz előre, akkor egyre rosszabb lesz.
Nem, hogy egyre összebb fog magad érezni, tehát akinek most gondolod magadat, akkor
az el fog
tudni, és azt gondolod, hogy még szarabb vagy, így egyszerűen
szerint. And I know myself, what happens is the purification becomes so much more intense that you see every sneaky thing you're doing, you really see, and you catch yourself doing things, and you think, you slimy, sneaky rascal. I know what you're doing, why you're doing that, you know. You really see it. They say that being in Vrindavan is like being turned inside out and then being put under a microscope. And once I've been in Vrindavan for like a week, I'm fine. I just want to move on now to Mayapur, you know. Or I can spend 2 weeks in Mayapur first. Yeah, because it's just too much. It's just too intense. It's too intense in Vrindavan. Yeah. You see, in Mayapur, the mood is... The mood in Mayapur is Haribo. That's just the mood. Everything is resonating. Haribo. There's no, but in Vrindavan it's doo, 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 doo. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? You Sahaja. You're taking it cheaply. You rascal. That's what's going on. You're feeling it. Because you're right there and right in front of Radha Krishna. And if there's any sex desire there, or there's any prestige or any pride, then you can really feel it. It's very intense. Mm. And as we progress, because we can't take it right now, because we're not strong enough to take it, so Krishna's only showing a little of where we're at. And as we can get stronger, then Krishna says, okay, we can start showing him a bit more where he's at. Till eventually, when you're strong enough, he'll show you completely where you're at, and it's not nice seeing it, it's actually really, you know. I remember the first time when I started doing dramas, I saw a video of myself, and I was asking an actor, and the actor was saying actors never look at films of themselves because they see what they really look like, because a lot of the time we see how we look according to how we think we look. You know, like I think I look good in this, right? But everybody else can probably see it looks really scruffy, you know? And I'm thinking, it's now if I saw a video of it, I'd never wear this again, probably. You know? And the first time I saw a video of myself doing this drama, I was thinking, oh my God, do I look like that, you know? And it made me lose my confidence, you know? So as you go on in Krishna consciousness, eventually Krishna will finally say, well, this is what you're actually like, you know? And they'll be like, oh my God. Because everybody else can see where you're at. But because you cannot see what you look like for the people's eyes, then you think you're okay. But when you start seeing what you look like to others, then it can be quite crushing. Because you're thinking, I said that and he laughed, so he thinks I'm cool. And I've got this one sussed, and I just have to go like that, and he thinks I'm cool, and that one, you know. But they don't. It's only you kidding yourself, thinking that. So then when you start seeing what you actually look like to others, it can be discouraging, because you suddenly think, you know, not only am I not making any progress, but I'm getting worse. But actually you are making progress, because you're becoming humble now. And that's what humble means. It means that you really feel that you're unqualified and you're unworthy. Yeah. And then if you can still continue in your devotional service enthusiastically with that at the same time, then you're starting to become a strong devotee. But, you know, to really bear the burden of humility, you have to be strong to do it. It breaks the false ego, you know. And if you do it too much, Prabhupada said you bend, you don't break. So you kind of do it slowly. Because if you do it too... Hey, but you're completely... You see a chapa there, and you see me looking at that woman there, and you are so out of it. It just goes... Oh! And he just leaves, you know. Because it's just like, oh, no, it's just too overwhelming. So Krishna just gently pushes your eyes open, you know, with the torchlight of knowledge. You know, if someone's been in a cave for 30 years in the dark, and you go in and go, Haribo! With a big floodlight, be like, oh, you know. So you just slowly, you know, and give a little flash of light, and then put it down again, and then try to get used to it, and then eventually slowly, slowly, then he gets to see. You know? And really everything is hinging on this humility, because when we actually become humble, then we'll be praying all the time for help, for protection, for guidance, for intelligence, for forgiveness, and for the ability to chant the holy names. So, any questions or comments on that? Is anyone discouraged by that? Or encouraged by that?
I could listen to this for hours and hours.
You see, for me this is really useful because I wrote all these down. I wrote all these, oh, these are pictures. If any of the devotees want any of these pictures, then you can have a look through, and if there's anything you like. I brought them from Scotland, so that the devotees can have them. Yeah.
What I would like to ask is that said we need courage to confront our bad habits, japa, and well, I definitely have many bad habits, and they kind of burned into me. So, what would be the first step to confront any of them? So, for example, I usually don't stay in the temple room because there's light there now, so I just came out to the dark.
And chant in the corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or. Also, I cannot sit down while I'm chanting because I fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just keep walking up and down, and I often catch myself thinking of a lot of things. Mostly, well, my biggest problem is like mystic skills. You know, I just see myself fighting in the air or anything, flying, throwing fireballs and stuff like that. So okay.
Same as me. Yeah. So the first way to improve your japa is to try and chant all the rounds without any interruption. That will be an improvement straight away. So if you need to walk up and down in the corridor, see, when you're improving, what it means is you continue doing what you can do. Just now, whatever you're doing, you've been chanting for what, for a year?
Also a bit more, but...
Yeah, maybe 2 years, okay.
No,
so
not two, but slightly more than one.
Okay. And you know that you can chant your japa when you're... if you like anyone, just take. If you want to take.
Yeah, sure.
These are all to be given to the devotees. So so you don't let what you can't do stop you doing what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do whatever you're doing right now. And there's certain things that you can't do. You know, like in japa, you may be thinking, I just can't do it. I just can't sit there for 2 hours and just do it. I can't do that. But what can you do then? So maybe you can do it for... maybe you can walk up and down in the corridor and you can do that for 2 hours, 1 hour and three quarters, without any problem. And that's one step. So you continue doing that. And what you would like to do is to get to the point where you can sit down and chant your japa just in the temple room and not be concerned with anything else that's going on around you. You know, that's what you'd like to aim toward, but it's not going to happen overnight. And one of the easiest ways to improve japa in the beginning is just to increase the japa, because if you can chant, say, one extra round even, then in 16 days that's like an extra 16 rounds, and by chanting the extra round the holy name becomes pleased, and when the holy name is pleased, then there's more chance of the holy name being with us. See, what the holy name is like is, you know the stuff you have, sellotape?
What?
Sellotape, you know, you have on a roll?
Yeah, okay.
And you unroll it.
Yeah.
And the sellotape, if you put it down and go like that, then it will be stuck.
Wait, no, it's crazy. It looks.
Yeah. It sticks to your hand. No problem, yeah. Now, if you get the sellotape, and then you put it on your dhoti and take it off, and put it on the dhoti and take it off, and put it on, and then you put it on the floor and you take it off. Eventually, there's so much fluff and rubbish on the tape that when you put it there and go like that, it doesn't stick anymore.
Yeah.
So the holy name, if the holy name is pleased, then it's sticky. So when you touch it, you can't get away. You stay concentrated on it because it's sticky. But if it's all slippery and slidey, and as you're trying to think of it, you're sliding off into there, and you're sliding off into there, and you're sliding off into there, and you're sliding off, then it's because the Holy Name is not pleased with you. So you want to please the Holy Name. One of the easiest ways to please the Holy Name is to just chant more, increase your japa. Now, when the Holy Name is pleased, then it's sticky. You can stick to it more. You can pay attention to it, and you don't wander off. You think of Krishna, and then when some of the thought comes in, you're like, no, I'm sticking with Krishna. And you stay stuck to Krishna. You become attached to Krishna. So that's the easiest way, because it's hard to just make a mental adjustment and just decide, because we would all just do that if it was that easy. Right, okay, I'll chant better japa tomorrow. But it's not that easy. You have to please the Holy Name. So one of the easiest ways to please the Holy Name is just to increase the chanting. Just to say, okay, I'm going to start doing an extra 2 rounds a day now. And then what will happen is the next day when you go to chant, you'll find that as you do, the Holy Name will start to dance on your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Just one other question. It's like, now I actually do that. This month I started to chant 21 rounds. And well, it's not easy to actually uphold this state, you know, like,
yeah.
because it's for me it takes like 3.5 hours, but now you said
takes you 3.5 hours to do 21 rounds.
Yes, for me, I just slowly, one round is like 10 minutes, so that's how it comes out. But how long should I just carry on with chanting? Or there's no formula for that.
It is good to speed up your chanting if you can, because if you're chanting and it's slow, then you can end up going into the mode of ignorance. And if you've got a choice of being in a mode of ignorance or being in a mode of passion, you've got more chance of getting into the mode of goodness from the mode of passion than you have from the mode of ignorance. So if your chanting is like slow and it's very kind of sluggish and you're finding it a struggle, then one way to get into the mode of passion is just to start chanting faster. Now, an easy way to do that is, if you chant now, right? Okay, I'm going to time myself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that took 6 seconds, okay? Now, if I want to make that just take 4 seconds, then there's one way you can do that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I just save the time it takes to breathe by breathing in on the Ramas. So then you save a third of the time. Now, if you do that for 64 rounds, it means you save an hour and a half by breathing in on the Ramas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you can do. Prabhupada said, when you're chanting, after every 2 mantras, breathe in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Like that. After, now you can do that also. If you do that, after every 2 mantras you breathe in, then that will control the mind also, because it becomes very regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing as well is your attention span. If you ever wonder about it, how long does now last? How long does now last before it becomes the past? Like, we're thinking of what's going to happen in the future. Now, if now is a... Say your attention is like a torch and you're shining the light, okay? Now, this is the light here reaching a surface, okay? Now, the time that now lasts before it becomes past and before it's in the future, the amount of time that we experience is now is roughly the amount of time it takes to say this. Hare Krishna. That's now. Hare Krishna. That's how long now lasts. Hare Krishna. So if you're paying attention to the Holy Name, then you can only go one couplet at a time. So you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all you can pay attention to. You can't pay attention to the whole mantra because now doesn't last that long.
Mm.
All you're doing is you're thinking about what you've just chanted. You're thinking, Christ, that was crap chanting I've just done there. Or you're thinking, God, what's the next one going to be like? Because that was totally crap, you know? So you're thinking about the past, you're thinking about the future, but right now, all you can really do is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare. Anything else is just mental speculation. See, the mental speculation about what's happened in going to happen or what has happened in the past. So focusing on chanting. I think if it takes a long time, generally, it's... I mean, there are some devotees like Giriraj Swami and Indradhara Swami just take time to chant, but generally with Shivram Rai, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said one time to his disciples, he said, you should be chanting around in 5 minutes. So if you work it out, 5 minutes, if it takes 3 seconds to chant one mantra, then that's 324 seconds. So what's 324 seconds in minutes? It's about five. Is it 6.5? Yes, it's about 6.5 minutes. So if you want to chant your japa in 6.5 minutes, you've got to get a mantra out in 3 seconds. So if you want to really get into it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It has to be with a certain amount of urgency and a certain amount of intensity. And the mind won't like that. Oh God, you know, bad enough trying to chant, now you want me to do it faster. You know, but get out the mode of ignorance, get into the mode of passion. If you continue in the mode of passion, then you could slip back into the mode of ignorance, or you could break through into the mode of goodness. You've got more chance of getting into the mode of goodness from the mode of passion, you see. So just put a bit more life into it, a bit more energy into it. Hare Krishna. Get into it a little bit more, you know. Because you see somebody who goes, I'm going to chant this morning. I'm just going to be in the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna. Hare. Oh, look at him, he's really passionate. He's so passionate. Just hear the Holy Hare. So rather than just accept, look, I haven't got much of a taste for the Holy Name here, so let me just get it done fast. I'm not going to hear it anyway. I'm not hearing it anyway, so let me do it fast at least. And then you put a lot of effort in and intense. Then you go. I mean, I remember my best japa when I saw it, when I had this feeling that Lord Chaitanya, after 6 weeks, I decided I was going to start chanting really fast. And I remember thinking the beads were like bullets, they were coming out my bead bag like. I was thinking, that's what I'll do. I'll just machine gun Maya down. She won't be able to get me. And then suddenly I got this like special mercy, you know, because I was really intense. I was intensely endeavouring. And I was running really fast, and I was thinking, if I slow down, the mind's going to catch up with me. My girlfriend's going to start showing me her knickers very quickly. I'm going to have to keep running. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was running fast towards Krishna, you see. And I thought, if I slow down, the mind's going to catch me. So there has to be some kind of intensity there to get to Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Now I just have to pay attention not to, well, turn into nyam nyam giri giri, like you were saying this morning.
Sometimes it is like that because you're trying to chant fast and you're trying to do it intensely, so sometimes you lose a little bit with the pronunciation. But the best is that after you've been doing it for a while, if you continue with the endeavour, you're walking up and down, then you start to break through. I find it when I'm chanting a lot of rounds, especially. And what I personally do is, say if you're sitting down and you're, there's different stages, you're trying to just sit and just chant, that's the best thing, and you're not moving and you're just chanting, that's the best thing, that's what Chief Ramaj would like us all to do. Prabhupada says, just sit tightly, that's the best thing, if you can do it. Then you're finding, oh no, this is not going to work. So the next thing you do, if that's not working, the next thing you do is then, you that's what I do, because I'm thinking, well, if I'm moving up and down, that's going to be just as much movement as this, so I'm going to walk up and down, sitting down, so I'm doing it like that. Then the next stage is, then you stand, you stay in the one spot, and then the last stage is, you walk up and down, because the reason why it's the last stage is because when you're doing that, there's more chance for you to wander. And if you ever watch it, if you want to analyze scientifically, do you know when the devotee spaces out usually? I've watched it a million times in our temple. The devotee's walking up and down and he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Just as he gets to the end and he has to think of turning around, you know, to go the other way, that's when it cuts out. That's when he'll usually... That's usually when he'll lose it, you know.
Amikor valaki sétál, és amikor elérkezik arra a pontra, hogy meg kell fordulni, általában ott elvesztünk. Szóval ez a figyelem, ami kell ahhoz, amikor valaki sétál, akkor az elviszi a figyelmet.
Another time which can be a real space out is you finish your round. Now there's a few things that are going to have to happen now. You're going to have to pull your little counter bead down. You're going to have to say Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. And because you're no longer just chanting the holy name, there's like a diversion, it's like an intermission, you know. It's like when you're watching a film and then the break comes on. And now the break comes on, so you go to do the Jai Krishna Chaitanya. And then the break comes on, hey, why don't you get this type of mire instead? This could be really cool. Okay, girls, let's do it. and then you're back to chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What were you doing? And it's like when an intermission break. You know? So when it comes to that point, where you're going to chant the next round, instead of saying Jai Shri Krishna, you could just carry on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. And then there's no way Mike can slip in. Then you say, you're just chanting continually. And Shiv Ramos was saying, Prabhupada said Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, you chanted before Kirtan, but he didn't say you need to chant it before each round. I mean, it's good if you can do it, but you will find, for some, it can become a distraction. You know, the whole process of pulling the bead down and saying the Jai Shri Krishna can be a big distraction. You know, so we're trying. The mind is so uncontrolled and so fickle that even the slightest thing, even going up and having to turn back round, so that's like the your last resort. If you're so sleepy that you have to walk up and down, but better to stand in one spot, better to sit down and move, and better to sit down and just be still.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the best, you know. but to do that, sometimes if I'm chanting a lot of rounds and I get to the last, I've done my 48th round, I've got my last 16 to do, and suddenly I'm actually hearing, then I can sit down without any problem because I'm hearing the holy name then, and then I know I'm not going to fall asleep. But up until then, if you can't tune in, then you need to keep moving, you know, and just keep passionate. Don't slip into the mode of ignorance. Because then it's quite offensive, actually. Chanting the word dreams is quite offensive. Mode of passion is like namabhas. You're trying to the best of your ability. So then you get excused. Okay, he's making mistakes there, but he's trying like anything, you know. So that's good. Make a good endeavor and work really hard, you know. Like anything. Put everything you've got into it. The marathon's coming up now. You should be chanting with your heart and soul. Chanting like you've just been told you're going to die in half an hour, you know. You're going to be taken out of the temple room and shot in the head in half an hour. Chant like that. Oh my God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. And if you're breathing in when you're chanting, then there's no gaps. It's just chanting all the time, you know. And you're chanting in your mind. And Haridas Thakur, he would chant 64 rounds in the mind, 64 rounds out loud, and then 64 rounds really loud. So 64 of his rounds were in the mind, you know. So when you're chanting as you're breathing in, then you're chanting in the mind when you're doing that. And every marathon, when I used to do the street, I used to lose my voice about 2 or 3 weeks through it because I've got a weak throat. And I'd have to chant my japa in my mind. And then I'd go out with like my lines written on the board, and I'd go up to people and go, they would say, excuse me, I'm a monk. I've lost my voice, sorry, can you give a donation to help? Yeah. And I found that my japa was better when I had to chant it in the mind than when I chanted out loud. Because you can be chanting out loud, and that's all getting taken care of. You're doing that. And then you can just go off a million miles away. It's going on there, and you're just like, oh, yeah, she was so nice, that girl I knew at school. I wonder what she's doing now, you know. I should have kissed her when I had the chance, you know. That's all going on in the mind, you know. But if you're having to chant in the mind, then the mind's going to be there with you while you're doing it. So that can be a good way to control the mind. For myself personally, I found the easiest way was just to increase, by increasing the chanting. Everything else has kind of nourished the intelligence what to do, the enthusiasm to do it, the inspiration to do it. It all comes from that. So, anything else?
Mm-hmm. Can you define this namabhas? Because now, recently, we have spoken about namabhas. We had not argument, but kind of discussions. Can you speak something about namabhas? What does it mean? Does it have any scale or...
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of namabhases, or what? Just one thing, or
In Sudhavati Chintamani, Shiva Ramaj explains quite explicitly, you know, all the different stages, very scientifically analyzes, you know, in a very scholarly way as well. So I would refer, Indra Dhun Maharaj said that this about Sudhavati Chintamani should be like the main guidebook for devotees in ISKCON, because it's a very sincere disciple of Srila Prabhupada who's understood exactly what is needed to achieve the goal, because he's achieved it already, you know. One time Shiv Ramraj was in the manor, and Balabhadra Prabhu was watching him, and he said that Shiv Ramraj was like this. He was holding the, they have this like gate in front of Radha Gokunalanda. It's a big iron gate. So at certain times the gate is there, you know, and he said he could see that Maharaj was holding on the gate to stay stood up, because there was a type of ecstasy that he was experiencing, and he couldn't stand, so he was like hanging on to the gate to kind of steady himself, you know, and he wasn't saying anything to anybody, but Balabhadra could see what was going on, you know. So that means that he's if he's on the platform of ecstasy when he's chanting, then that means that he's reached a certain perfection, a certain level of perfection. And Sudhavati Chintamani is him explaining how to avoid, you know, all the different things. And Namabhas, in a very simple sense, we're all at different levels of Namabhas, because we're all trying to whatever degree that we are. And sometimes a young devotee is trying much harder than an older devotee, because the older devotee is allowed material desires to come in, and he's kind of like compromised his devotional service, so he's not rendering pure devotional service. Whereas this young devotee is, because he's very enthusiastic, he has faith in Prabhupada, he would give his life. If you said to him, jump over a cliff now for Srila Prabhupada, he would just be, whereas the older devotee would be like, don't even want to do that, you know. So the way I look at it, because we've had a few problems in Scotland, you know, and we've had people that were supposed to be way, way ahead of us suddenly disappear, which can be very confusing, you know. He looked like he was way ahead, and then suddenly it looks like you're way ahead and he's way behind, you know. So the whole thing can be very disorientating. So the way I look at it, the way I resolve everything, is every single one of you have your own relationship with Krishna, and all the people that, like Prabhupada Varney, Balabhadra, Bhagavan, they all have their relationship with Krishna. And what goes on is between them and Krishna. And what I'm doing is between me and Krishna. You have your own relationship with Krishna. Mm. So we all know that we can try better, and we all know that we can improve, and we all know that we can increase, because we all know that we can make advancement, and we all want to make advancement. So that's what we should be doing, you know. And as long as we're making advancement, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. All that matters is, which direction are you going in? Are you going toward Krishna, or are you going away from Krishna? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter where you're at. You could be a prostitute in Dwarka. You could be a guru in Russia. That's the externals. But what really matters is, are you going toward Krishna, or are you going away from Krishna? That's all that matters. And no matter how high up you are, if you're going away from Krishna, then it's not good. And even if you're like a little mouse on the altar sniffing a giwik, and you know you die, but you're going towards Krishna, then you're rightly situated. And it says at the end of Sudhavati Chintamani, it says that if you just try the hardest all your life, however far you are away, because of that special contract that Prabhupada drew up with Krishna, if you've tried to the best, then he'll fill the gap. It doesn't matter if you're only 2%. And someone else is 98%, doesn't matter. Krishna says it's okay. He's one of Prabhupada's boys. Bring him in, you know. So that's all we have to do. We just try to the best of our ability. And you know what the best of your ability is. It's like we say, God isn't interested in what you give, he's interested in what you keep back. So Krishna is not so much concerned with the endeavor that you're making, he's more concerned with the endeavor that you're not making. That's what Krishna wants to say. He wants to say, well, okay, we know that, but we want to see you do what I know you can. And we don't really know what we can do. Krishna knows what we can do, but we don't really know what we can do. Well, I mean, there's things you can find yourself doing that you would never have dreamt that you could do. But Krishna can do, can make you do, can empower you. You know? I remember one class this devotee was saying, he says, you can't be saying to people, Krishna's that way. No, he's that way. Krishna's that way. I'm going, he's that way. You go that way. Because people will usually think, well, he's that way. Why you, you know? So if a preacher wants to be effective, he's saying, Krishna's this way. And as long as people are following in the same direction, then everyone's rightly situated. That's parampara. Everyone's going along. We're all going the right. And it doesn't really matter where you're at. So, you know, it's you can never relax or rest on what you've done in devotional service. You always have to keep pushing. You can't, you know, I can't go up to some guy, if I do Sankirtan tomorrow, I can't go up to the guy and say, I won the marathon last year, 10,000 foreign. You're nobody, you're nothing. You go out every day and the bag is empty. Every day. You can't say, well, can I have a percentage of it for the next day? You start with nothing every day. Every day it's like that. So devotional service, every day we have to prove ourselves, we have to surrender, we have to give everything we've got. Every day we have to do that. That's what you've embarked upon. But it's not as depressing as it sounds, actually. It's actually quite nice. It's when I look at all my old friends, when I go back to Skelmersdale and I see what I would be like now, 30 years on, if I hadn't been a devotee, and then every year just more and more, whew, thank God Srila Prabhupada saved me, you know. So, anything else?
How is it possible to increase attention, focus?
Discussing the Holy Name really pleases the Holy Name. So if you can make a regular habit of sitting down together for half an hour or something and discussing the Holy Name, you'll find that your japa will really improve. It's so enlivening to do it. Because the Holy Name is really pleased. If the Holy Name comes along and, wow, these guys are all sitting here talking about me. They're all focusing on how they want to improve. The Holy Name is really pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Name starts dancing. I remember one time I was chanting my japa. It was just useless japa as usual. And this devotee came. And I went out and I got some Charanamrita for him. I got the Charanamrita and I gave it to him. And he said, oh, thanks very much, Prabhu. And I went back to chant. And the chanting was just unbelievable. I was just like, it was like Krishna was just dancing on my tongue. I was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was like I could practically feel his feet, you know, dancing on my tongue. It was just so, and it was, I was like fired up. I was fired up for about a week or two after that. I was thinking, just for that little bit of service, the Holy Name has decided to reciprocate. So when you're chanting, we're trying like anything, but it's up to Krishna when he suddenly wants to jump onto your tongue and you know. And, you know, we increase, we intensify our desire more, we want to do it more, we focus more on what we want to do. Another really good thing for improving japa, something that I've always done as long as I can remember, is I used to look at devotees sometimes and they would chant their japa and then they would suddenly get like half an hour, they got up a bit earlier and they wanted to chant their japa and then they'd go off to go and read, you know. And I think, well, why? Surely the best thing to do is read before you chant your japa, so that when you're chanting your japa, you've got something nice to meditate on while you're chanting, you know. So, I mean, this is all different subjects now, but when I first started, it was just one book, and it was just all the quotes about the Holy Name that I thought were enthusing, you know. I compiled like 100 notes, then it became like 200 points, and then it was 300 points, and then it was 1,000 points, you know, which were enthusing. And then I used to just read this for 5 minutes. I was reading the Japa Reform Notebook, actually, when I first was on the Bhakti program. I used to read that by Satsarup. Yeah, and that really helped a lot, because it helped me to apply my intelligence to why I was doing it, you know. So just to go down, you get up in the morning, you've been totally in the mind of ignorance, you go to Mangalati, then you put the bead bag on, and it's like, okay, here we go again. So, but if you've read for 5 minutes beforehand something really powerful about the Holy Name, and then you put the bead bag on, you're thinking, when I chant, it's the same as performing 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, when you become inspired, you know. Because before you can hear the holy name, you have to hear about the holy name. That's the important thing. Before you can hear it, you have to hear about it. Because unless you hear about it, you won't want to hear the holy name. You won't know what you're missing, you know. It's like trying to make a date with you with this girl, you know. Well, before you know what she looks like, you're not going to be that interested. But if you find out she's really, really nice, and she's really gorgeous, and she's really, you know, a great girl, then when you go down to try and meet her, you're going to be really excited, you know. So with the holy name, we should be chanting with excited anticipation. And that's generally been incited by hearing something about the holy name, something really like... Like one of the things that really enthuses me is this to what he said to Prabhupada. He said, what should we be thinking when we chant the holy name? And Prabhupada thought for a minute and then he said, the chanting is the thinking. You know, you try putting that one on your brain during japa. Just have that one thought, meditate on that. Every time you're going off, think, wow, the thinking. It's the chanting. The chanting is the thinking. That's what you... My thinking is just chanting. That's what should be going on. You know? That's a very, very powerful point to meditate on when you're chanting, you know?
This is pretty awesome. There's some story about Sachin Maharaj. The same thing. When Sachin Maharaj went to some pilgrimage to Vrindavan, and he sat down and he started to chant, and next to him was a Babaji who lived in the Vrindavan, and the Babaji asked Sachin Maharaj, what do you do, Swamiji? And Maharaj replied, I try to get the holy name. And Babaji replied, no, it's not good. And he replied, the Babaji, let the holy name hear you.
Is that
the mandani?
Yeah.
Let the holy name hear you.
Yeah.
Well, there's a devotee called Padmavati, and I was in Radhadash, and she's a disciple of Harikesh, and I don't know if she's still alive now, because this book was written when she was really old, and she took a vow to do 192 rounds a day for 2 weeks. So I was reading the diary, you know, and she said at one point she had to look at the mantra, because she was chanting that much, she forgot what it was. It was like she was going like a bit loopy or something. And...
nézni kellett a mantrát, mert elfelejtett, annyit mondta, hogy
elfelejtett a mantrát, közben csak úgy mondtam, nem tudom, hogy...
192, annyi volt, hogy elfelejtett, hogy mit mond, és kellett neki
nézni. A mantrát.
Mert annyira belement. Mert annyit ismételtett, tudod, ez olyan, mint amikor valamit folyamatosan mondasz, és már megszokott, hogy mondod, és már...
Mit
magyarázok, tudod?
Én nem értem ezt.
So because you know if you do 192 rounds a day, and she was having to chant them fast, otherwise she would have had no time to sleep, and she was trying to squeeze in some sleep and something to eat and maybe go to the toilet quickly, you know, and then up the next day. So she said, today my chanting went really well. I realized that I was not chanting the mantra, but the mantra was chanting me.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know what that must be like. You can imagine what it must be like, that there's this thing happening, and you're just kind of getting carried along, you know, in the cogwheels. You're just like, and you're just kind of going along in this machine, you know, and it's just carrying you along, you know. So that's what it's like when there's no false ego, because you're fully aware that Krishna's the doer. So he's doing it. He's dancing on your tongue. He's the sound vibration. He's coming to you. See, we think, this is the illusion, we think. So I say to everyone, now, let's go down and chant 8 rounds in the temple room, right? So we go, right, okay, then, let's get my bead bag on, and I'm going to chant. We think like that, because we're so used to thinking we're the doer. But actually, what it is Krishna says, okay, I want all these guys, I want to dance in all these guys' tongues now for an hour. So get them all down in the temple room, put the bead bags on their hands, and chant. Because it's not up to you. You may think you have the choice, but you actually don't. If Krishna's not satisfied, you won't chant. You won't be able to chant, even if you force yourself. If Krishna doesn't want you to chant, if he becomes really like disgusted with you for your offences, you won't be able to chant. You won't be able to put the bead bag on. You just won't think it. It just won't come up into your mind. You'll just be like, You'll forget to do it. And my dad, he lives outside, and he only has to chant 3 rounds a day. And he says, I just don't seem to find time. Well, what it really means is the Holy Name doesn't want to dance on his tongue. So we should always remember that. You think you've got a choice, you haven't. If Krishna decides that he's had enough, he won't be able to chant. That's how delicate, that's how precarious the situation is. Yeah? And if you find you're chanting more and you're liking the chanting, then you're really fortunate, because it means Krishna wants, he wants you. He wants you to come home this lifetime. Krishna wants you. It's not that you wanted to leave the material world. It's that Krishna wanted you. Krishna's come because he wants you. So, because one time there was a letter, Srila Prabhupada, this devotee was saying, I have left Vrindavan because I want to go to Govinda. And Srila Prabhupada turned around and he said, you rascal. He said to somebody, he said, he has not left Vrindavan. Krishna has kicked him out. So he's thinking, he has the choice. I can go to Vrindavan, I can leave, I can pick up my bead bag, I can put my bead bag down. You could say, I've decided today I don't want to chant my rounds. You haven't decided you don't want to chant your rounds. Krishna decided he doesn't want you to chant anymore. That's actually what happened. But the false ego, the illusion is, I am the doer. So therefore, I am also the non-doer. If I'm the doer and I don't do something, then I must be also in control of not doing it. You're not. Krishna's in control of whether you do it, and Krishna's in control of whether you don't do it. So we should be praying, oh Krishna, please don't ever go away from me. Please always appear on my tongue at least for 2 hours a day now, from now to the day I die. Please always be there. Please always come to me and always give me the inspiration to chant. That's actually, it's like that song, Kamala Dalaja, Jivana Talamala. That's how delicate it is. We're just like a little drop. You know, any minute we could just die, any minute we could just give up devotional service, any minute we could just decide we're not going to chant, or Krishna just... So it's a very precarious, delicate situation that we're in. So we need to pray, like anything, you know. Please keep me going, you know. So, I don't know, what was the question?
How get more focused, more dedicated, and more inspired to chant?
Yeah, so by reading like this and taking notes, it's a really good system. I would advise everyone to do it. And then your intelligence is kind of spiked with some really positive thought, and then go down with this thought in mind, I'm going to meditate on this while I'm chanting japa. Because your mind's going to have to meditate on something. So give it something nice to meditate on, you know. And it'll make it easier when it starts to stray. You say, no. Remember Prabhupada said, the chanting is the thinking. So just, you know, and it really does help you to focus. And you should, every time we're picking up Srila Prabhupada's books, practically every time there's something about chanting Hare Krishna. Every time, practically. So write it down. Remember it. Keep it. You'll need them. It's like when your japa prayer, Shiva Ramaj was saying, in japa, whatever you're attached to, that's what comes up.
Whatever you...
attached to. Whatever an artist you have, that's when you see them face to face. Oh, hi. You must be my anata. How's it going? So it's right there in your face, you know. So you need... when you're on the battlefield, you have astras that you can fire, you know. So you're out there with the chariot of the mind, and you have your astras. And, oh, the mind's coming up with this one. Okay, well, Prabhupada said this. And here's another one. Okay, well, Prabhupada said that. And you have your astras, you have your knowledge about the Holy Name, and you need to use it. That's when it's the most important time. That's when you really need to know your verses, and you need to know your Bhagavad Gita when you're chanting japa, because your worst enemy is your mind, and you need to be able to defeat the mind. You need to have knowledge and say, that's nonsense. And kill it, you know, kill the mind. Fire some really strong instruction to the mind. There was a really heavy one. There was a really heavy one where Prabhupada said to Giriraj, I don't know if you know this, then you can say. He was with Giriraj Maharaj, and he said, do you know what Maya's job is? Have you heard that one?
No.
And Giriraj said, it's to keep the living entity trapped in the material world, you know. And Prabhupada said, yeah, 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 but what's a real job? And so he's thinking, he says, it's too illusional living entity, you know, Tesla, you know. Prabhupada says, yeah, but what's a real job? So he goes, I don't know, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, it is to make the living entity lick the dripping vagina.
Vagina.
Vagina. Vagina. Oh, so Guru Mahārāj wasn't expecting that. But it's a really powerful, you know, it's a really good thing to keep in mind, isn't it? And that's eventually what it leads to, you know. That's eventually what it is. That you surrender to Maya and you become a servant. That's what you do there. The surrendered servant of Maya. Can you imagine why she's like with a very, you know, good family? I would never think of saying that. Not a Prabhupada, you know.
Everyone's
going to pitch in. So thank you very much for allowing me to come. It's very nice. If you get a chance to come and see us in Scotland, we're definitely in need of pujaris and sankirtan men. I didn't say that. That wasn't the point. But if you want to just come for a visit anyway, then you're very welcome.
When are you coming next time?
Well, we're thinking, because we're allowed 3 weeks off, and this extra week was given to us as a gift by our temple president, because my wife, she did, I think it was 18 hours, she did a straight 18 hours on Janmashtami, and she was totally exhausted. And Prana went to her and said, I'm really, really sorry about this. He said, I'll give you an extra holiday in India. And she said, well, you can't afford to do that because I can't spend that long away. And he goes, yeah, you're right. She says, well, just give me 1 week in Hungary. So we got the special, mm-hmm. special gift. Yeah. But normally we get 3 weeks, so we're thinking rather than spending 3 weeks all in one go, we can do 1 week in Hungary for Vyasa Puja, and then 1 week in Radhadesh, and maybe 1 week at the manor or something, you know. Because in the manor they give us these nice rooms, posh rooms next to Srila Prabhupada. We stay there, and you just walk down the stairs to Mangalati in the morning. It's really nice. So maybe May we'll all meet again, hopefully.
Nice.
By Krishna's grace.
And to India, how often you go?
Well, normally I go every year, but I've had to go to Udupi because I've got a problem with my liver. So I go to the clinic there. So I go for a test on the 17th of this month. And if the test is good and there's no problem with my liver, it's getting better, then we can break it up. But Prana may let me come anyway, you know, for Vyasa Puja. He's a nice temple president.
Prana, will you come for Vyasa Puja?
Hopefully I'll come, yeah. Prana will let me.
And also
Prana. No, Prana won't be able to come, I don't think. He would like to come, but I don't think he'll have the time. You got a picture? Do you want a picture?
I didn't see.
Okay.
I haven't seen.
You see.
Prabhu, one more thing. The Prabhu from yesterday who gave you the kartuna was really eager to know if you liked it or not.
What? Gave me the what?
The kartuna, you know, the bread with the spinach and...
Yeah, I saw him later on and I said it was nice. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a bit salty, actually, but it was nice. There's lots of olives in it and spinach and cheese, so... You can't go wrong, really, can you? I remember Govinda Maharaj was saying, if you're cooking for the devotees and you're not sure whether it's going to turn out right, he says, just get some extra butter and put it in and the devotees will love it. Once there's lots of butter, they'll love it.
Butter,
yeah. Mokkan. Okay, thank you very much. Thank my humble obeisances. Tomorrow we'll be back in Glasgow and it'll be freezing cold.
Tomorrow you go back?